Raised by Soundfest is coming Saturday, December 7th. Go to raisedbysoundfest.com for more information.
It's WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis, WYXR.org on the web. This is Talkin' Memphis. We're going to be, let's see. Really excited about tonight's show. We've got an interview with two directors, Julie and Diane. I'll bring them on in just a second, about the new Dori Previn On My Way to Where documentary that's going to be playing at Indie Memphis coming up. So let's hear the Dori Previn song, and we're going to be back to tell you all about this incredible artist and this incredible documentary here on Talkin' Memphis tonight. WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis, WYXR.org on the web.
It's just that going home is such a ride, such a ride. Going home is such a ride. Going home is such a ride. Going home is such a low, lonely ride. Would you hang your denim jacket near the poster by Picasso? Do you sleep on the left side or the right, or the right? Would you mind if I leave on the light? Would you mind if it isn't too bright? Now I need the window open, so if you happen to get chilly, there's this coverlet my cousin hand crocheted. Hand crocheted. Do you mind if the edges are frayed? Would you like to unfasten my braid? Shall I make you in the morning a cup of homemade coffee? I will sweeten it with honey and with cream. I can watch you while you shave. Oh God, the mirror's cracked. When you leave, will you come back? You don't have to answer that at all. The bathroom door is just across the hall. You'll find an extra towel on the rack, on the paisley pattern papered wall. There's a comb on the shelf. I papered that wall myself. That wall myself. Would you care to stay till sunrise? It's completely your decision. decision. It's just the night cuts through me like a knife, like a knife. Would you care to stay a while and save my life? Would you care to stay a while and save my life? I don't know what made me say that. I've got this funny sense of humor. You know I could not be downhearted if I tried, if I tried. It's just that going home is such a ride. Going home is such a ride. Going home is such a ride. Isn't
WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis. This is Talkin' Memphis. I'm Robbie Grant here tonight to talk about the Dori Previn documentary, Dori Previn On My Way to Where, that's going to be premiering in Memphis at least on Friday, this Friday, as part of the Indie Memphis Film Festival at 8:15 p.m. at Studio on the Square. We love Indie Memphis, and this movie came across through a really good friend of the station, Candace Mills, and I've got one of its co-directors on the line right now. Can you hear me, Diana?
This is Julia.
Is Julia. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm here. I'm making it. I'm doing it. Yeah. How you doing, Julia?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great to meet you. This is Julia Greenberg. You're an artist, a playwright, and a documentarian. This is your first documentary, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's great. Well, cool. Well, so this, first of all, let me just say it was an incredible documentary. You sent me an early screener of it, and it was just phenomenal. So thank you so much. Congratulations on such a great movie. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. So I guess for the uninitiated, like I was, you know, until about 2 weeks ago, who is Dori Previn? That's a big question.
Who is Dori Previn? I mean, Dori Previn is the only woman in music history who crossed over from being a contract lyricist for MGM Studios to becoming a Laurel Canyon confessional singer-songwriter. So she's that's one thing, right? She like made this crossover that had not been done.
Yeah.
She is also someone who, and her songs when she was working with her then husband Andre Previn at MGM are some that, you know, you or your parents might have known, but the theme from Valley of the Dolls, Come Saturday Morning, these songs that were big in the 60s, sung by Dionne Warwick, Scott Walker. And then she had a crisis, which you might have enjoyed in the movie, and she had struggled with mental illness for a lot of her life, and she had a particularly rough episode and emerged from it through writing her own songs for herself, never really thinking that they could would be fit for the public in the early 1970s. But some smart producers figured out that she had a singular voice and kind of applied it to the sounds of the time. You know, she recorded with the Wrecking Crew and made seven incredible albums from 1970 to 1977.
Yeah, that's incredible. I like to do a lot of talking on Talkin' Memphis, but also I like to play some of the music. So I say we get into it, play a couple. We're going to start with Lemon Haired Ladies. Can you talk a little bit about the song, and then we can go right into it?
Yeah. Well, Lemon Haired Ladies is off of Mythical Kings and Iguanas. People think that's her best album, although all of them have amazing moments. I would say what's unique about this is Dori didn't become a singer-songwriter in her own right in the 1970s until she was 45 and older, which was unprecedented at the time of Carly Simon, Joni Mitchell, Carole King. And this is a song really that, and she talked about it. And she talks about it in this song.
All right. This is Dori Previn, Lemon Haired Ladies. The Dori Previn documentary Dori Previn, On My Way to Where, is playing this Friday as part of the Indie Memphis Film Festival on November 15th. Here's Dori Previn.
Whatever you give me, I'll take as it comes. Discarding self-pity, I'll manage with crumbs. I'll settle for moments, I won't ask for life. I'll not expect labels like lover or wife. If showing affection embarrasses you, I will not depend and I will not pursue. For you are younger than I, younger than I, younger than I, and I am wiser than you. The 1 a.m. phone calls, you're here, then you're gone. Come when you need me, I won't carry on. I'll simply accept you the way that you are. Unsure and unstructured, my door is ajar. Those lemon-haired ladies of 20 or so, of course you must see them, just don't let me know. Don't let me know. Whatever you do, for you are younger than I, younger than I, younger than I, and I am weaker than you. I'll give you a year, maybe two, maybe three, then what will happen, where will I be? You'll still be a boy, but what about me? What about me? What about me? Why must you treat me with such little care? I've so much inside me I'm aching to share. Why am I constant to someone like you? Children don't know the meaning of true. Those lemon-haired ladies, why must you see them? All that I want in your eyes is to be them. Time is on their side, that's all I lack. Oh, I wish you would just go away. No, come back, come back, go away, come back, go away. What in hell can I do? I'm supposed to be wise, for I am older than you, older than you. You so self-centered, the games that you play. Do as you please, well, you will anyway. Of course you will see them, no use to pretend. For they are younger than I, younger than I. Those lemon. They will win in the end.
Hi, I'm Phoebe, and you're listening to WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis.
Dory Previn doing With My Daddy in the Attic. This is Robbie here on Talkin' Memphis. I'm here with co-director Julia Greenberg talking about the brand new coming to Memphis, Dory Previn On My Way to Where documentary that is playing this Friday at 8:15 at Studio on the Square as part of Indie Memphis. Julia, that song hooked me. I love that song. And one thing in the documentary, her lyricism is incredible and just like really unparalleled. And you guys use animation, and that song is specifically stuck out with me. What can you talk a little bit about that process of using animation and how it related to the lyrics?
Sure. As you could, you know, we were gifted the incredible privilege of having access to all of her stuff, so her archive and her estate, through a relationship that I had built with the family over time, just as a massive fan and a musician that interprets her stuff. So we knew right away that her journals needed to be part of the story, and we wanted to illustrate her external life, which is, you know, as I was saying before, historically relevant, culturally important. And she actually, for somebody who was such a cult figure, did a lot of TV. So through our incredible archival producer, Ian Marshall, who owns Retro Video, he had been collecting all of her, appearances on talk shows. So we found that we had her talking about her own life. So we were like, let's get rid of all of our talking heads. We don't want a bunch of dudes talking about how cool she is and how they listened to her first and blah, blah. And she could tell her own story. But we found that she's so funny and so poised that when she told her own story, you didn't get any of the pathos. Like, the pathos was in the songs and in her journals. So we crossed our fingers and asked the brilliant artist and animator Emily Hubley if she would consider doing the animation. Emily is, she's animated Hedwig and the Angry Inch, the movie. She's done a lot of rock docs, but she got it completely, and we all agreed that we didn't want, you know, the kind of animation that's in a lot of docs these days, just like all of a sudden there's like somebody driving in a car, that we wanted to illustrate her inner life based on her handwriting and her own drawing. So they're really it's her inner life kind of brought off the page by Emily, but it's all very much based on Dory's own writing.
Yeah. And what was that like going through the journals? I mean, was that, because you knew her, and but I mean, like, was that like discover like a whole new conversation you were having with her with those journals? I mean, what was that process like?
It was intense. You know, and for a long time the journals were in her house and they had all been like squirreled away in the attic, right, and in other places filled with dust and like some, and they're intense. So like it was always like, whoa, you know, an intense experience. I mean, the thing that we discovered, I don't want to give away for folks, but she, you know, had very specific characters that she had a dialogue with over her whole adult life. And when we found those characters, we wanted them to be part of the story of her life. So it was honestly she was obsessed with words and what letters, symbols. So a lot of her diaries are very impressionistic. Like, you're not like getting the groovy story about some famous person that she met. It's really deeply internal and often very hard to understand. She also wrote in backwards script and forward script, because, and maybe this could be a segue to one of the songs, but because she believed that that she was born left-handed and the nuns at her Catholic school broke her of her left-handedness. And she believed that precipitated a break, like a psychic break for her. And only when she could get the use of her left hand back would she feel whole again. So she wrote both with her right hand and her left hand and backwards and forwards. And so that was also the experience of the journals. Like,
yeah,
wow.
That's incredible. I think that should lead in. You want to, I'm assuming you mean play Left Hand Lost.
Yeah,
and I've got the live
Left Hand Lost from her, you know, her iconic concert at Carnegie Hall, which has, I hope this is the version we have, I think so, with her introduction of the song. Yeah, that would be, I think.
All right. This is Dory Previn. We're talking about the Dory Previn documentary, Dory Previn On My Way to Where, playing this Friday at 8:15 at Studio on the Square. I'm talking with co-director Julia Greenberg. This is Left Hand Lost. We'll be right back after this one.
Say the demon devil side. The left hand does the dirty work, the shameful things you hide. Judas kissed the left cheek of Christ, it's Satan's special mark. There were no left footed animals allowed on Noah's Ark. Left-handed people are impure. They go against the grain. Left-handed children play with themselves and drive themselves insane.
I was born left-handed. But the nuns where I went to school said it wasn't good. And so they broke me of it. And now I'm right-handed, just like I'm supposed to be. And now I'm just fine. I'm just fine. Really. Really. Depressed, as though I lost a part of me that loved me, the part that knew me best, the child in me that cried.
That's Dori Previn doing Left Hand Lost live at Carnegie Hall from her Live at Carnegie Hall album. I'm here today talking to Julia Greenberg, co-director of the new Dori Previn On My Way to Where documentary that's playing this Friday night as part of the Indie Memphis Film Festival. That's quite a journey she takes us on in that song. That's incredible. You found out about, you know, she put out a lot of albums in the 70s. I mean, she had a pretty prolific period where she had like 8 albums in 8 years or something like that. But that's ended in 78. I mean, you found out about her 20 or 25 years later in 2005. I'm just finding out about her almost 50 years later. What do you attribute that to? I mean,
why is she so unknown after being so well known back then?
I mean, I wouldn't say that she was well known. She had success, and she, in some ways, she was well known because of the scandal associated with her husband, Andre Previn, and their divorce, which was very much a tabloid story. So that when she became a singer-songwriter, like, the music industry knew who she was. She was a curiosity. But I would say there are two, and I'll think of a third reason. First, I mean, she was so brutally honest about mental health issues, about misogyny in the world, about sexuality. She was writing about, you know, the gender non-binary. She has songs about Jesus being an androgyne, and many of her songs end with her puzzling over whether she's a man or a woman or both. She, you know, wrote the song Daddy in the Attic. You know, she used humor to bring people into very dark themes that were not discussed in pop music, or not overtly. So that's one. I don't think the men in the record business could really deal with it. Two, she was terrified of flying and traveling, so she didn't tour. So, you know, this is like the 70s. This is like, you know, the Eagles.
Right.
Touring was a big deal.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, she just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And our film goes into the reasons why and the pains she takes to actually get to tour in Europe and stuff like that. Mm. And yeah, I mean, I think those are the two main reasons.
Yeah, yeah. And she had that early career, not, you know, writing Hollywood, you know, songs and Academy Award, like, right, she was there before rock, like before rock and roll. And so she was bridging that gap. And anyway, it's incredible. And I love, there's so much great, like you mentioned earlier, archival footage of that, just that the 70s music scene, you know, the scene that is just, it makes it, it's so great. So I'm excited for folks to see that. And then you, so tell us, so you're co-director, so you're working with Diana Dilworth. So how did the two of you come together? And Diana was supposed to join us, but you said she was running, like, it was late for her. And I thought maybe she was just on the East Coast. It was an hour late. And I was like, what? But yeah, she must be somewhere else.
She lives in Switzerland.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, she, although I texted with her earlier, she's like, I'm waking up at 2. It's going to be good. But apparently the alarm didn't go off.
Yeah. But how was that? Y'all coming together on the dock?
Yeah. We are friends. We are friends. Mm-hmm. And she is a filmmaker. She made an amazing film about the Mellotron called Melodrama.
Yes.
And a great film about Michael Jackson fans during the time of his trial. I am now a filmmaker. I was not then a filmmaker.
Congratulations.
Thanks. But a musician. And, you know, I would always, everyone I know was tired of me talking about Dory, including Diana. But when I started going through her archives, because her husband, you know, there's just this precious stuff. And I was like, somebody's got to help you organize it. So during the pandemic, I, you know, masked up and went over there and just started organizing things and telling her about it. And she was like, this is a film. And I was like, well, great, go ahead, make it, you know. Nice. And then once we started talking about what it entails, I was like, oh, let's, I think I get what it means to make a documentary. And so we decided to be partners in the effort.
Yeah. Well, great debut. It's incredible. Let's play it. Why don't you pick? You sent me a playlist before. You pick. What should we play next?
Sure. I mean, I feel like you really have to, I think, you know, Theme from Valley of the Dolls is one of her great achievements as a lyricist. So I would say let's play that and go back a bit into her Hollywood days.
I love that. All right, we're talking to Julia Greenberg, co-director of the Dory Previn documentary planned this Friday. We're going to hear a song that Dory Previn wrote the lyrics for. This is Dionne Warwick performing the theme from Valley of the Dolls. We'll be right back.
To get Clover. I love WYXR Memphis.
When I am going round the bend, I got a wild imaginary friend. When I'm driven up the wall, my old friend, he comes to call. Mr. Whispers here again, Mr. Whispers here again. He's back in his apartment in my Mr. Whispers here again, Mr. Whispers here again. He's back in his apartment, like I said. Just when life can get much worse, he tells me reassuring things. Says I'm the center of the universe. Says I'm as good as presidents and kings. Mr. Whispers here again, Mr. Whispers here again. I think I can control him, but in takes control, guides my heart and guides my soul. The minute that he steps inside my head, just when I am sure he'll stay, they shoot me with a bolt or two. They try to drive my Mr. Friend away.
Lucifer, light, hang loose, stay loose.
I
How did I get this way? I was. What was I going to say? I was on. How did I get in here? I was on my. Wasn't I here last year? I was on my way. Why have they locked me in? I was on my way to. Who's my next of kin? Christ, won't I ever win? I paid my airplane fare. I was on my way to where?
It's WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis. This is Robbie Grant here with Julia Greenberg, co-director of the new Dori Previn On My Way to Where documentary, which that song was pulled from, Mr. Whisper. That's an incredible outro to that. Tell us about a little bit about that record and about that song, that what that means to you.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, since we, you know, I don't have a lot of chance to just sit and listen to her, and I don't, and I've been thinking about her just constantly for 3 years, that it's so fun to sit and listen to these songs, and I feel anew how incredibly brilliant she is when I hear them. I mean, just lots of observations, and I just sat and listened to that one. I mean, one, when it, you know, meant the story about her mental illness, she was, even in that song, I mean, the song is called Mr. Whisper, about a voice in her head, but, mm-hmm. you know, she says, when they shoot me with a bolt or two, you know, and then Mr. Whisper goes away, and, you know, like, just back to what we were saying before, like, people did not say this, and, right. you know, maybe Lou Reed was, like, her contemporary in that way, you know, like, she was very brave about that stuff. Yeah. Also, the production is just so rad, and it's Nick Vinay, who was an A&R guy for Capitol, and signed the Beach Boys, and then went on to be a producer and produced Linda Ronstadt, the Stone Pony record. He was, you know, just one of those, like, studio guys in LA in the 70s.
Yeah.
And it's just I find that the juxtaposition of her lyrics and the artful but slick production is just so groovy.
Yeah, the production on these records are really great. Really groovy and really cool. Yeah. And you she passed, like, just about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago. But so you met her, and you hung out with her and knew her. Tell me a little bit, you know, cause she really stopped making records in the late '70s. I mean, she performed some, but I guess talk a little bit about, like, you met her and also kind of her later years and what she was doing.
Sure. I met her. I can't say that we were friends or that sure. I knew her well. I became very good friends with her husband, Joby Baker, who gave us permission to make the film, and he appears in the film, and I hope you enjoyed him, Robbie.
Yes, he was great.
he was an incredible artist and a stand-up comedian, and just kept us laughing through all of this and kept Dori laughing. But I met them because I sent, I was doing a show of her songs and posted it on, like, the one Facebook group I could find, and it turned out that it was administered by Dori's stepson, Will Whalen. Hi, Will. And he said, wrote me, and he was like, record it and send it to Dori and Joby. So I was like, whatever, and did. And, like, yeah, they called me and invited me to come meet them in the Berkshires where they lived. And so that's how I met them. Yeah. And she was, you know, in her 80s then, and had a stroke. So she had no kind of short-term memory, but she could talk all about her past.
Wow.
So it was great. The story I like to tell about her is that she, at a certain point when I asked her about Frank Sinatra, who she knew well, she said the one thing that she thought remembered about him was that he had a deaf cat. And of all the people in the world to have a deaf cat, so the cat couldn't hear him crooning. I just think about that all the time. So she, her story is one of, in deep introspective and perseverance. So it's not your typical rock doc in right. that way, which we're really happy to have been able to tell the story about somebody who lived a creative, long life after immense struggle. So she lived till 86. She wrote two memoirs. She wrote a couple musicals based on her life. She didn't have the same success. I believe she had what's called hypergraphia. Like she had to write somewhat compulsively. She wrote like several, there's in her estate are several novels, these long essays about women in the Bible. So she just engaged with her interests and her mind until the very end.
Wow.
And that was an inspiring part of the story for us as well.
Yeah. Again, incredible documentary playing this Friday night, Dori Previn, On My Way to Where, Friday as part of the Indie Memphis Film Festival. Let's play another song. You want to intro one for us here?
Sure. Actually, just thinking about getting to know Dori, I was honored to be asked to sing at her memorial service when she died in 2012 on Valentine's Day. She died on Valentine's Day, which just also feels very Dory because she had a macabre sense of humor. And I sang this next song, which is called The New Enzyme Demise, New Enzyme Detergent Demise of Ally McGraw. See it on the list there?
Yep, I got it.
Okay, yeah. So just imagine singing this song at somebody's memorial service.
Mine was a Wednesday death, one afternoon at approximately 3:15. I gave up and died, and nobody cried. Mine was a bloodless death, not grim, not gory, more like Ally McGraw's new enzyme detergent demise in love story. Neat and tidy, unlike Christ's on Friday. Friends were fooled by the fact I still breathed, and I spoke, and I smiled, and I lied. In my handy-dandy imitation life disguise kit, I sent away for it. Styrofoam face fits so neatly in place with the pre-recorded voice of your choice, and it almost sounds real. It's a guaranteed deal, and you don't feel a thing. You can teach it to sing, and all your friends are deceived, and nobody grieves. Mine was a Wednesday day, one afternoon at approximately 3:15. I was quietly laid to rest. Nobody guessed. A handy disposable heart marks time in a plastic breast, and so it goes, and nobody knows I am non-biodegradable.
That's The New Enzyme Detergent Demise of Ally McGraw by Dori Previn. We're here talking to Julie Greenberg about her Dori Previn On My Way to Where documentary playing this Friday at Indie Memphis. Well, Julie, it's been great talking to you. It's already been an hour. It's like just flown by.
It's so fast.
Yeah. And it's your, you're coming to Indie Memphis. It's your first time to Memphis.
My first time. So glad that Indie Memphis included our film. We're really excited to be part of the festival.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, you got any other plans while you're here, or just mostly film festival stuff?
Oh, I want to check out the city. It's been a dream of mine to come.
All right.
So, yeah. Well, I'm going to be a tourist.
All right. Well, cool. Well, we're here in Crosstown. The opening is right across the atrium here. So you'll see the station and be around. So I want to thank you for turning me on to Dori Previn. I mean, this was it's been a really fun couple weeks diving into her catalog and then getting to watch the film this past weekend. It's been great. So congratulations on a really great documentary.
Thanks, Robbie, for having me. It's been a delight.
Sure. Well, we miss Diana. But we'll catch up with her some other time. Why don't you pick one to play us out on, and I'll see you later this week.
Sounds good.
Cool.
I would go with "Did Jesus Have a Baby Sister?"
Did Jesus have a baby?
All right. See you, Julia. Thank you.
Thank you.
Was she bitter? Was she sweet? Did she wind up in a convent? Did she end up on the street? On the run? On the stage? Did she dance? Did he have a sister? A little baby sister? Did Jesus have a sister? Did they give her a chance? Did he have a baby sister? Could she speak out by and large? Was she told by Mother Mary, ask your brother, he's in charge, he's the chief, he's the whipped cream on the cake. Did they give her a brain?
Jesus, baby sister.
Her brother's birth announcement, it was pretty big, I guess. But she got precious little notice in the local press. Her mother was the virgin when she carried him there. What was her name? Did she long to be the savior, saving everyone she met? And in private, to her mirror, did she whisper, "Saviorette, save your woman, save your person, save your breath"? Did he have a sister, little baby sister? Did Jesus have a sister? Was she there at his death? And did she cry for Mary's comfort as she watched him on the cross? And was Mary too despairing? Ask your brother, he's the boss,
he's the boss,
he's the chief,
he's the chief,
he's the man,
he's the man,
he's the show. Doesn't anyone know?
Did Jesus have a sister? Oh!
Yeah, it's WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis. That was Dori Previn doing Did Jesus Have a Baby Sister? If you missed our any of our interview with Julia Greenberg, co-director of the Dori Previn On My Way to Where Doc, you can check that out in our archives. It'll be up. I'm going to try to get it up right now, but definitely by tomorrow morning. We all stay tuned, and we got Lena Hayes coming up next with Dear Diary, then the new Untitled show with Tim Prudhomme and Steve Shelley, and then Sam Shansky, and after that, and The Witching Hour with Sarah Mosley in. So y'all stay tuned all night long. Don't turn that dial. WYXR. Hey,
Raised by Soundfest is just around the corner on Saturday, December 7th at Crosstown Concourse. And the after party promises to be a festival highlight with a DJ set by the Black Keys, performances by Memphis rap pioneers Tommy Wright III and Lil Noid, complimentary eats, beer, and cocktails, immersive art experiences, and more. Tickets are going fast. Get yours today at RaisedbySoundfest.com.